I'm Brian Gottstein, and this is the Daily Signal Top News for Tuesday, March 26th. Here are today's headlines. The Daily Signal's Mary Margaret Olihan reports that the U.S. Supreme Court began hearing oral arguments today in a case dealing with the Food and Drug Administration removing safeguards on abortion pills. Four national medical associations and four individual donors have sued the FDA for removing almost all safety standards for pregnant women taking the abortion drugs mifepristone and misoprostol. They are represented by the Alliance Defending Freedom. Safeguards formerly included in-person visits to doctors to make sure the mothers don't have ectopic pregnancies or other serious medical conditions, as well as follow-up checkup visits for internal bleeding and infection after the drugs are administered. Abortion advocates rallied at the Supreme Court on Tuesday. Multiple protesters who spoke with the Daily Signal said they wanted women to have unfettered access to the abortion drugs and pushed back against the idea that safeguards were necessary. Pro-life advocates who spoke with the Daily Signal emphasized the need to protect women's health, sharing stories of women who've suffered severe medical complications from taking the drugs without proper medical supervision. Alliance Defending Freedom senior counsel Aaron Hawley, in a statement, accused the FDA of violating federal law and its duty to keep women safe by removing crucial safeguards. She said that regardless of one's views about abortion, we should all agree that women's health matters. Women deserve for the FDA to do its job, and women deserve for the federal government to look out for their health and safety. Some female abortion supporters told Mary Margaret Olihan that they did a demonstration in front of the Supreme Court earlier in the morning where multiple people took the abortion pills just to show, quote, that it's safe. Let's take a listen to their conversation.
This is our abortion pill robot. We did a demonstration this morning where we dispensed mifepristone. One of the people in our group took the pill to demonstrate how safe it is.
They took the pill right here.
Yeah. Operating these robots that are counseling patients and are legally allowed to prescribe mifepristone. So that's why multiple people from our organization have taken the pills and they've been counseled by a physician who's providing them.
And multiple people here today have taken them that aren't pregnant? Wow. Is there any kind of health effects from that?
No.
No?
That's the point of the demonstration, to show that it's safe. It's a progesterone blocker.
Okay. So it's just safe to take whenever?
It's not for any reason.
I legitimately asked you guys, is it safe to take any time? Because you just said someone took it this morning that wasn't pregnant.
I mean, they took it to demonstrate that it's safe. You shouldn't just, take it every day for no reason.
Okay. But...
For more on today's oral arguments in front of the Supreme Court, check out Mary Margaret's article in today's show notes. Recovery efforts are underway after a bridge in Baltimore, Maryland collapsed early Tuesday morning. Around 1:30 a.m., a cargo ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, causing it to snap and collapse into the Patapsco River. NPR reports that officials say 8 construction workers were repairing potholes on the bridge when it collapsed. 2 people have been rescued, and one of them was seriously injured, according to NPR. Maryland Governor Wes Moore spoke earlier today about the tragedy. Let's take a listen to some of his remarks via 11 Alive.
I recognize that many of us are hurting right now. I recognize that many of us are scared right now. And so I want to be very clear about where everything stands. We are still investigating what happened, but we are quickly gathering details. The preliminary investigation points to an accident. We haven't seen any credible evidence of a terrorist attack. Our administration is working closely with leaders from all levels of government and society to respond to this crisis, and not but just by addressing the immediate aftermath, but also by building a state that is more resilient and a state that's more safe. That is our pledge, and that's our commitment. And we're going to keep that commitment. And lastly, to the victims of this tragedy and their loved ones, all of our hearts are broken. We feel your loss. We're thinking of you. And we will always be thinking of you. We pray for the construction workers who are on the Key Bridge, and we pray for everyone who has been touched by this tragedy and their families and all of their loved ones. But Maryland, we will get through this because that is the Maryland spirit, and that's what Maryland is made of.
Moore declared a state of emergency while Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott declared a local state of emergency. President Joe Biden delivered remarks about the bridge collapse early this afternoon. Let's listen via the White House's YouTube page.
Officials at the scene estimate 8 people were unaccounted for still. Not still, were unaccounted for. That number might change. 2 have been rescued, 1 without injury, 1 in critical condition. And the search and rescue operation is continuing for all those remaining as we speak. I spoke with Governor Moore this morning, as well as the mayor of Baltimore, the county executive, to both United States senators and the congressman. And my Secretary of Transportation is on the scene. I told them we're going to send all the federal resources they need as we respond to this emergency. And I mean all the federal resources. And we're going to rebuild that port together. Everything so far indicates that this was a terrible accident. At this time, we have no other indication, no other reason to believe there's any intentional act here. Personnel on board the ship were able to alert the Maryland Department of Transportation that they had lost control of their vessel, as you all know and reported. As a result, local authorities were able to close the bridge to traffic before the bridge was struck, which undoubtedly saved lives. And our prayers are with everyone involved in this terrible accident and all the families, especially those waiting for the news of their loved one right now. I know every minute in that circumstance feels like a lifetime. You just don't know. It's just terrible. We're incredibly grateful for the brave rescuers who immediately rushed to the scene and to the people of Baltimore who want to say, we're with you. We're going to stay with you as long as it takes. And like the governor said, you're Maryland tough, you're Baltimore strong, and we're going to get through this together. And I promise we're not leaving.
Biden said he would visit the site soon. With us right now, we have Steve Bradbury, who's a distinguished fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Now, Steve served in the Trump administration as the general counsel of the U.S. Department of Transportation and also served as the acting deputy secretary of transportation. As the department's chief legal officer, he oversaw all of the department's rulemaking and enforcement actions. Steve, it's great to have you here today, unfortunately, talking about a terrible disaster. Now, let's talk about the bigger picture here. What does this mean as far as transportation and such?
Well, thank you, Brian. Well, first of all, it means the Port of Baltimore is blocked for a protracted period of time. This huge bridge, the third largest of its kind in the world, lies in ruins across the channel, blocking the channel. No ships can go in and out of the Port of Baltimore. That's one of the busiest, most important ports on the East Coast of the United States. It's a number one port for the importation of new motor vehicles into the East Coast from overseas suppliers. So a huge issue. It's going to take some weeks, probably, to cut up and clear all of the debris from the channel. Of course, we can't even start doing that until search and rescue is over and the safety assessment is done. But even apart from the Port of Baltimore and the importance of that port and clearing the channel, the bridge itself, critical artery for north-south transportation, especially trucking transportation up and down the East Coast of the United States. There are three main arteries through the Baltimore. Two of them are tunnels. This is the only bridge. So it's the one that hazmat trucks need to take. They can't take those tunnels. So fuel trucks, other tanker trucks, etc., this is the way they cross through Baltimore on that north-south route. So it's going to be a long time before we've got this bridge replaced, either with a new bridge or a tunnel. Major, major disruption of traffic and transportation.
Well, and obviously it's very early. This just happened today. So it's early to talk about causes, but we did see the lights go off on the ship before it actually hit, which indicates a power outage perhaps. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, and understand that the ship radioed to the port that it had a power outage. And if you've seen the videos, you saw it go blink on and off a couple of times. And that means the ship, if that's true, which appears to be, the ship lost propulsion, lost steering capability. So a massive, massive ship, almost 1,000 feet long, fully loaded with containers, 95,000 tons of gross weight, and out of control in the channel outside the Port of Baltimore, running into a pier of the bridge, which of course is not constructed to take withstand that kind of collision. So some early reports suggest that this ship had a similar power outage last year that had been reported. International authorities collect and track safety issues with ships in international waters. And there's some report that U.S. authorities reviewed the ship in some way in September and gave it a clean bill of health, or at least approved it for coming to U.S. ports. Gotta look into that. The National Transportation Safety Board will look into that. That may involve the Coast Guard. Coast Guard is responsible for regulating the safety of ships that use U.S. ports.
So they're responsible for the Coast Guard, part of the Department of Homeland Security is responsible for overseeing compliance that the ships that enter the port, whether they're foreign ships or domestic,
correct,
are complying.
And by far the greatest majority are foreign ships that use the ports. And yes, it's the Coast Guard's responsibility. That is part of the Department of Homeland Security, which is, of course, under the supervision and management of Alejandro Mayorkas, Secretary of Homeland Security, who's recently impeached by the House of Representatives for his disastrous role in the open border policies and the harm that's done to the U.S. Really is a question how much of his attention is focused on these critical safety issues as Homeland Security Secretary.
Well, I've heard you say earlier that this does raise concerns about the security and resiliency of our major transportation infrastructure. Can you just give a little more detail?
Well, that's right. Bridges, tunnels, rail lines, ports, critical infrastructure for the nation, a critical focus of Homeland Security planning for any potential threat to that critical infrastructure, whether from terrorists, foreign adversaries, accidents such as this, disasters. And that's all coordinated, that Homeland Security planning is coordinated by the Department of Homeland Security under the management of Secretary Mayorkas. It involves law enforcement at state and local levels, private industry, federal authorities, but again, coordinated by DHS. And I really question sometimes whether our priorities are as laser-focused as they need to be on mission number one, which is safety and security of our infrastructure, which supports our economic vitality, our prosperity. If foreign adversaries could take out infrastructure like this, critical bridges, this is going to have a huge impact on the economic vitality and health and security of the United States. And, you know, some of these agencies, their attention has been diverted to some extent to other policy goals like climate change, like right, social justice, equity. And that goes for the Coast Guard. It goes for Department of Homeland Security, Department of Transportation, Secretary Pete Buttigieg, et cetera. International organizations are involved here, too, and they are focused on climate change. It really makes you wonder whether some of these disasters at some point might be affected by that shift in focus, that shift in prioritization. Again, safety and security of infrastructure, that needs to be mission number one and two for one, two, three, you name it. That's top priority for Department of Transportation, Department of Homeland Security, et cetera.
Wow, terrible disaster, but we're learning that the implications go beyond, far beyond what happened this morning. Steve Bradbury, Distinguished Fellow at the Heritage Foundation, thanks for joining us with the Daily Signal podcast, Top News.
Thank you, Brian.
Our colleague Fred Lucas reports that a mining agency in the U.S. Interior Department sought to purge its website and other documentation of traditional language that could potentially offend LGBTQ individuals. This was in an attempt to comply with an executive order from President Joe Biden. Employees of the Interior Department's Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement are directed to go through all agency messaging and remove language that presumes traditional views on gender and marriage, according to documents obtained by the Heritage Foundation's Oversight Project. The documents also show that the mining agency sought to hire new staff and get more resources to change signage at regional and field offices throughout the country. The agency has offices in 36 states. One document about Biden's executive order says the effort includes discarding written assumptions that marriage is between one man and one woman, or that a person's gender is always either male or female. Biden's executive order, signed on January 20th, 2021, his first day in office, is titled preventing and combating discrimination on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation. In 2022, agency employees answered a questionnaire to help them spot potentially offensive language, such as language that used gender pronouns. Technical terms such as man-made are considered offensive and should be replaced with neutral terms, the document explains. For more on this story, check out the link to Fred's article in today's show notes. With the 2024 presidential election underway, independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has chosen Nicole Shanahan as his vice presidential running mate. The Wall Street Journal reports that Shanahan is a California-based lawyer who was previously married to Sergey Brin, co-founder of Google. She is also the founder of the Baia Echo Foundation, which says it aims to accelerate social change in order to establish a fair and equitable society for future generations to thrive, according to the foundation's website. Kennedy held an event in Oakland, California, where he made the announcement. And that'll do it for today's episode. Thanks for listening to the Daily Signal's top news. If you haven't gotten a chance, be sure to check out our morning show right here in this podcast feed, where we interview lawmakers, experts, and leading conservative voices. Kate Trinko will be sitting down with Tim Carney. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Daily Signal wherever you get your podcasts and help us to reach more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. We read all of your feedback. Thanks again for listening. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, and we'll be back with you all tomorrow morning.
The Daily Signal podcast is brought to you by more than 500,000 members of the Heritage Foundation. Executive producers are Rob Bluey and Kate Trinko. Producers are Virginia Allen and Samantha Asheris. Sound design by Lauren Evans, Mark Guiney, and John Popp. To learn more, please visit dailysignal.com.